2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Okay, so welcome everybody to the Baseball America podcast. I'm Alexis Brudnicki, and I am here with Team Canada Olympic hopefuls, Kellen Daglin and Jacob Robson. Trying to make this podcast as Canadian as we can, bringing Baseball America back to its Canadian roots, a magazine that started in White Rock, British Columbia, for those who don't know. I don't know, you guys probably didn't know that. So before we get into everything, I kind of want to get a rundown of your Team Canada experiences. Right now you guys are in Florida, preparing to compete for an Olympic bid, but if you can give me a rundown of kind of what Team Canada teams you've played on. Jacob, I'll start with you right from that, like, first tryout your mom made you go to with the Scouting Bureau and how you got your start to now.
Yeah, that's a bit of a long story, but to make it a little more brief, I was not on the junior national team as at the beginning of my grade 11 year, and I would follow that team along, and my mom basically convinced me to email Greg Hamilton, the head coach of the junior team. He asked if I was going to a certain scouting like showcase, and I was not invited, but I took that as the invite. I went not thinking anything of it and was on the team after that, and remained on that team all the way through grade 12 of my senior season. So I was on that team for about a year and a half, the junior national team, which is an amazing opportunity. We got to travel all around the world. We came in second in the world in 2012. We lost in the finals in Seoul, South Korea, which is an amazing experience playing, in some high stakes games as a young high school player, and went off to college, was drafted by the Tigers in 2016. And then my first experience with the men's senior national team was in 2019. And that was in Brazil for the Pan Am Games qualifying tournament. Now, all of these tournaments we play in, our organization has to approve of them, of us playing for our country. So every time I'm asked, I always want to, as long as the Tigers let me. So this is my second time with the senior team. I'm really grateful that the Tigers let me play this year, and would love to help the team qualify for the Olympics.
And I should have said, yes, you are with the Tigers organization, Kellen with the Yankees organization, Jacob also a Mississippi State legend, from Windsor, Ontario, Kellen from Langley, British Columbia. So we're representing a couple different provinces here. Kellen, a first rounder, now in the Yankees organization. So Kellen, what about you, your Team Canada experiences?
It's been great. You know, I was on the junior national team as well. I'm trying to think what grade my first year was. I might have been in grade 10 potentially, but I know I was there in grade 11, grade 12. And the junior national team was a huge help in my career, being in high school, playing against pro competition. That was probably a huge help in me getting drafted first round to Texas back in 2010. And then I believe 2012 was my first year on the senior national team. And that was that tournament in Regensburg, Germany. I think you were there, right, Alexis?
I wasn't, but I caught every minute of it.
Okay. Yeah, so that was my first trip on the senior team. And I've done a handful of senior team trips since, fortunately.
Won a gold medal? Yankees,
yeah, that's right. Won a gold medal 2015 Pan Am Games in Toronto. That was one of the highlights of my baseball career. And then I missed the trip in 2019 in Peru. Hoping to qualify here with the guys and play in the Olympics as well.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough question to answer maybe, but or maybe just like a long question to answer, but just what does it mean to you guys to represent the country, to wear the team C on the chest, to be with this group of guys? Kellen, I'll ask you first.
It's an incredible opportunity. It's a blessing to play for your country. We all have a lot of passion and pride when we represent our country. You know, there's a lot of our friends and family watching back home. And, you know, the Maple Leaf means a lot to all of us. And international baseball, it's just a different level intensity. So we're grateful every time we get that opportunity to represent our country. And, you know, we just want to play hard and do our best and make our fellow Canadians proud.
Jake, how about you?
Yeah, tremendous honor. You know, growing up as a high, all you dream about is getting to that junior national team. And we were just talking about this before the interview, me and Degs, just talking about if we were not on that junior national team, what would have happened in our careers. And so thankful to be on that team and now sort of being on the other end of it, helping the senior team. You know, there's a lot of really, really good baseball players here, and they've had tremendous careers. They offer awesome guidance, and it's just like, it's a great community and culture here. And it's totally different than professional baseball. I mean, everybody's trying to make it to the big leagues. They're scratching and clawing. There's a lot less caring about actually winning the game, as bad as that sounds. Whereas here, it's like, we're doing everything we can to win. We're doing everything we can to score the next run. And it's not so much, what's my batting average? You know, all that stuff goes out the window. And it's just like, let's just compete for your teammates. Like I said, tremendous honor. And you know, we're really going into this tournament with high hopes. And, you know, I think it's going to be lots of fun.
On this squad in particular, do you guys consider yourselves like tweeners between the veteran older guys and the newbies? Or like, where are you guys at?
I definitely consider myself one of the younger guys. You know, there's guys who played in the big leagues here, over in Asia, both. You know, so they've been around the block and they know what they're doing. And I don't know, maybe some of them don't throw as hard as they used to, but they're still really good. And it's just like pretty amazing to see. Like, I was just watching Axford, for example. I was watching his bullpen today, and it was just like amazing, like the focus and, you know, pinpoint accuracy. It's just like, I know he's played for a long time, and so he should be really good at that. But it's just, if you pay attention to little things, even Matheson as well, I mean, he played for a long time, made a lot of money. So just, they're just pros, and you can still learn from guys, even if they're not on your professional team.
Kellen, do you feel like a veteran who's like a young veteran, or where are you at?
Yeah, I know, I just turned 29 earlier this month, so I feel like a young veteran now. In previous trips, I've always felt young, but now, you know, I'm definitely a younger veteran, because we have some young A-ball guys, you know, throw hard, got good stuff. And now it's like, I'm kind of in the mix between those guys and then the guys who, you know, like Richie, Scotty, and Axford, who have been on the team for, you know, a long time. So, you know, I think I'm just kind of in the middle, and, you know, I work with the pitchers and the position players. So it's a pretty good fit, I think.
And I mean, speaking of guys who've been around the block, I brought in a surprise, somebody who wants to talk to you guys about getting to the Olympics, somebody who has been to the big league, somebody who's also a Team C legend, and who just wanted to join us, the pride of Dorchester, Ontario, of course. Chris Robinson wanted to lend his Olympic knowledge to the group.
I had a feeling it was going to be him. What's up, Robbie?
What's up, holy smokes.
I told them you're here to give them Olympic prep advice. That's your role right now.
Jeez, you got a far left guy that's beautiful, and then you got the Southwestern Ontario that's a good looking guy too. I mean, what could go wrong? That's qualification right there for me.
How well do you know each of these guys? Chris Robinson joins the podcast.
Oh, man. This is being recorded, it tells me, right? So I got to be careful.
100%.
Well, I mean, Jacob, he was in at CFS as a little guy. So, I mean, it's been fun to watch his career and growing up and watching him play, and look forward to continue watching him play, qualifying for the Olympics and playing in the big leagues, all the good stuff he's got ahead of him. And I mean, Dags, I think one of my favorite baseball memories of all time was me caddying for you for a whole couple of weeks there. And I don't know whether it was such a great memory that just because we won or because you played so well, I didn't have to play.
No, you were great. And I didn't hit very well that tournament, but you know, well, the pitcher did well and stuff. But no, that was huge. In Germany too, you were huge taking me under your wing because I was so young back then.
Well, you hit well enough to keep me out of the lineup. So, I mean,
how much does that really take, though? Yeah, how much does that take?
But I don't know. I was at the gym this morning because after I saw the roster, I figured I better stay in shape because, like, I mean, that's a group I'm pretty well. I know pretty well with all those old arms on there. Holy shit!
Yeah.
I mean, shoot. Sorry, Lexus.
Somebody will come in and bleep it out. It's okay.
You bleep that out. Yeah.
There are some old arms. I mean, as Kellen, what have you seen from them so far?
Axford's still got a very live arm. He pitched the other day against Team USA, and the ball had a lot of life, and his command was really good with his fastball. He was up to 96, sitting 95, so. That was really good to see. Scott Matheson still got a good fastball and a good slider as well. And Richie, he pitched two innings, just gave up one home run. But like besides that one barrel, he was keeping him off balance, and his off speed was really good. And I got no doubt Robbie could still come back here and play too, because that guy, I mean, he just gets it done. International baseball, Robbie's the guy you want on your team, and he's finding a way to get the guys to win.
I mean, you've been replaced in every way possible. There's even a new Robbie on the team. He's right here. We don't even right. need your nickname.
That's an easy torch being passed there. He runs a lot better than I ever did, though. among a bunch of other things.
Still going to be a tough act to follow.
Well, I mean, I it's exciting to follow, like for us, I mean, us old guys, you know, it's kind of a nice mix between young and old. And I mean, you can't trade off for the experience that tournaments like that need. You guys have been in it. You guys have been involved, Dags. I mean, you've been doing it, you know, as long as I did with that group. So, I mean, a lot of times, you know, that experience and dealing with the adversity, whether it be, well, you guys are good, you don't have to deal with any kind of, you know, questionable food at the hotel or anything like that, or, you know, you have to deal with the questionable umpiring, I'm sure, that we always deal with international baseball in a different style. But I mean, that's a really great mix of guys. I can't imagine that it took long for that group to come together like it always does.
Has it? Is that true? Give us the truth now. Jacob's not answering. He's like, has the group come together like it should, like it does every time?
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking out to my right outside. They're all by the pool hanging out. Yeah, lots of camaraderie. Absolutely.
Yeah, we got a really good group of guys. I would say this year on the team, like when Robbie was on our team and Pete Orr were on the team, like they were the guys, like, and like Rene Tassoni after, you know, after Orr and Robbie were done, like those are the guys we kind of looked to, and Michael Saunders, they were kind of, you know, like the leaders. And I would say this year, it's a little bit more like leader by committee, like Woody steps up and, you know, Robbie will step up. I'll step up here and there, like everything Mallow, like everybody just kind of, you know, voices what they think. And and then on the pitcher side, we got Richie and Scotty, and I would just say it's more by committee right now and not as much by individual as it was maybe in the previous couple of trips I was on.
I think my favorite stories of the Pan Am Games team was like Pete and I were rooming together. They put the old guys rooming together, and Francis obviously spent a lot of time in our room. And we had like our, that little apartment complex type thing. And we had one room with Pete and I, and I think it was Haji and O'Neill were in another room. So you can imagine a little bit different age gap there. And we're sitting there wasting time one day, and Pete was trying to figure out like how to get on Twitter. And like, you know, we got these two old, like a Twitter, right? Like it's not TikTok. It's not like Tinder or whatever. It's Twitter, right? So like we're trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden O'Neill pokes his head in, and I'll use the PG rated. And he said, "Hey, old guys." He didn't use the word guys. He said, "Figure it out." And it was just like, thanks, Tyler. it was this moment where we're like, yeah, we are the old guys now, aren't we, Pete? Can't even figure out Twitter here.
I'm sure you guys figured out a lot of other stuff. I don't know how long you can stay, Chris, but you got to tell us about the Olympic experience.
Well, I think the best thing about the Olympics is the food. So if that's not enough, like, that's not enough, that the carrot being dangled in front. I just remember, like, it's these, you walk into the village and it's got this huge, like, indoor cafeteria. It's like 3 football fields long. And at the very end, because McDonald's is like a main sponsor for the Olympics, it's like this McDonald's. You just walk up and you order whatever you want from McDonald's and however much of it you want. I thought it was ironic that here we are, like the pinnacle of like the athlete performance, and you're walking by everybody from different countries that are just like actual Olympians, like in great shape, and you got like the American and the Canadian baseball team just set up shop in front of McDonald's the whole time, just crushing McNuggets after McNuggets. And I mean, it was a great experience. It was looking back on it, obviously devastating on the field. We lost, I think, 5 games by 1 run. But like as an experience as a whole, I mean, it was right up there with one of the best moments we ever had. And I mean, again, you guys speak to it. I mean, the group, to do it with that group of guys. And I mean, that was, I mean, again, we had Rietsma, Real Cormier, who was obviously so fortunate to get to know, and such a great person. Sterny was a leader on that team, kept everybody loose. And I mean, the list goes on and on. I don't want to miss anybody, but you know, it was a tremendous experience. Just, and I hope that you guys get the opportunity, because it's so much bigger than baseball, right? And it sounds cliched, but it really is. Like, you walk into that cafeteria and talk about being humbled. I just think, as 20 something year old professional athlete, thinking I was in pretty good shape, right? Well, yeah, that was not the case compared to the swimmers or the European handball players or the summer, whoever, right? Everybody you walk by is in a lot better shape than you are as you're sitting in front of crushing your 300th chicken McNugget of the week.
I wasn't expecting you to go for the McDonald's to get the fellas fired up, but that's one direction to go, I guess. Yeah, for sure.
Well, what did you want? Like, I tried to bounce back and give you some like feel good stuff, Alexis. Like, you're supposed to be the one teeing me up here. This is the only reason I came on, because I trust you to make me sound good. I mean, I don't do
interviews. First mistake. That was your first mistake. Trusting me.
Yeah, I just answer emails now and send emails out. I don't do any interviews anymore. No one wants to hear what I have to say.
I mean, obviously, for you guys too, Jacob and Kellen, like, I don't want to get too far ahead and look at the Olympics, but like, what gets you the most fired up when you're with this team and with this group of guys?
I just think, like, just the little things, to be honest with you. I mean, like, the other day I made a couple nice plays in center field, and like, I was just like embraced by the dugout, and like, that just doesn't happen in most baseball games. I mean, the fact that these guys, it just shows they're all in it. And even it's just like pitchers who aren't throwing that day, they're fully engaged, and like, they care, they want us to succeed. Even the guys who are not playing on the field, although that they probably wish they were, they want us to do well. It's not an ego thing. I mean, that it's just amazing. I think that's probably my favorite part. Just everybody just wants everyone to succeed, and we're all in it for the common goal of winning the game and getting as far as we can in this tournament.
Thanks. What gets you fired up?
I agree with him. You know, everybody's pulling for each other. Everybody wants to do their best. Like, everybody wants to get the job done. Like, everybody wants to be the guy to you know, move the runner or drive in the run or, you know, have a good, you know, throw strikes and get, you know, get their three outs, get us back hitting again. Like everybody wants to do well. I don't know. We just want to win, compete, and make our family and friends proud back home.
Obviously, a couple of WBCs ago, Robbie started a fight with Team Mexico. If you guys had to pick.
Renee, the fight. He was the one that got hit. I don't know. It was
your actions that set the wheels in motion. So if you guys had to pick somebody on the current team most likely to have a fight started because of them, who would it be?
Man, that's a good one.
Chime in. You looked at the roster. Who do you think?
Me?
No, Robbie too. Robbie saw the roster. He can pick one. He has nothing at stake here.
Well, like I think I wouldn't put anything past Gillies. Like he's always ready to roll. I mean, physically, I mean, he could probably throw half the other team across the field. He's got that Superman strength and body.
He was right in the middle of that Mexico fight also.
Yeah, so
he was. That's a good bet.
Yeah, Gillies, I mean, he might not start it, but he would definitely he'd be one that I'd be hiding behind.
That would be my pick too, because in the Pan Am games, he hit a homer against Puerto Rico, and as he was rounding first, he made the sign to their bullpen, like, hey, get the next pitcher going. He tapped his arm. So they didn't like that, and the game did get a little bit chippy after that.
Yeah, Gillies is this is my first experience with him. Like, I had just met him on this trip, and first of all, like, great teammate so far, but the guy just, like, does not stop. He's, like, always doing something. As long as he's awake, he's doing something physically, and that part's pretty amazing, and I can only imagine if you know, some blows are being thrown, I'm sure he'd be right in the middle of it. Another sleeper, I'm not sure if this is a sleeper pick either, because this is my first experience with him, but Matheson was showing me some of his minor league brawl highlights the other day. So he's a big guy too. So I'm sure he'd be eager to get in there.
Scott's a sneaky one, because he does come off like a super great guy. And then there's a switch there, right? And you got to be careful of him. You got to be careful of Scotty, because there's a snap in there somewhat. I played with him since the junior team, love him to death, but it's not always. Sometimes, you know, it's too nice. It's like, this guy might be too nice. But that's funny. Don't forget about the staff, though, Alexis. I mean, I was in Taiwan and you know, next thing you know, former left-handed pitcher / pitching coach is running across the field, starting a brawl in Denny Boucher. So don't put it by that. Tim Leaper's another one that wouldn't be scared to start throwing haymakers. I mean, those guys, not only would they be involved in it, but I could see either one of those guys starting one.
I would let Paul Quantrill stand up for me if I needed some help, I think, too. I would be willing to do that.
Q's the silent one, though. Q's the one that, like, all of a sudden you're eating from a straw for a couple of weeks because, you know, Q just came in and took care of business.
How do you guys describe the team that you have? Like, how can you put a label on the grouping, the team Canada style, or just the group that you have right now?
Thanks.
I would say it's a good vibe. Like, everybody's, everybody knows what we're here for. And having been on the teams in the past, I would say it feels like maybe a little bit less intense at the moment. You know, we don't got Renee Tassoni banging on the bus, you know, like, but we haven't played a real game. We just played exhibition games. You know, the music on the bus has been, we haven't had the speaker going on the bus yet. It feels pretty chill, but everybody, I mean, it's business. Everybody knows, like, what we're doing here, and we're all locked in. We played pretty good in these exhibition games. But, you know, as soon as game one starts, like, we know, like, the intensity is going to pick up with the music. And once we sing "Oh Canada" on the bus, everybody just gets super fired up after that. So we're in a good spot. I feel pretty comfortable with where everybody's at right now.
Who's been the best singer and worst singer you've ever heard with a Team Canada? There's been some awful renditions of that national anthem. I'm willing to put a lot of money on that.
I think Mulligan is the best and worst at the same time. You know, well, you know what I mean. He's always entertaining, and also another like great guy who's been around and you know, just has leadership, but also can keep the guys loose. Like I think Deggs described it pretty well. Like, it is pretty loose right now, but we know when game one starts, it's going to be, you know, everyone is going to be ready, and it's just sort of like the calm before the storm right now. But I'd say Mulligan's probably my pick for both best and worst.
Chris, you don't have a pick?
I mean, that's a pretty good pick, right? Molly's got his own version of it, but I can't think of a better person in the world than Dustin Mulligan in terms of heart, in terms of teammate, and in terms of being able to rally a group of guys, you know, and obviously so many great teammates on that. And, you know, Deg said it earlier, Jake said it earlier, like to be able to play in a game, especially after you deal with however many years of minor league baseball, where reality is you're kind of on your own, to come in to a group and to roll over a ball and move a runner to third base, and that helps win a ball game. Like, that is such a refreshing feeling. I just remember being so refreshed by that. And then to be surrounded by guys like those guys. So, I mean, that doesn't answer your question at all. You know, but I think when Molly starts singing, I mean, there's no place I'd rather be.
Brilliant is another good one. He gets the boys going, and a lot of LFGs on the bus too. That's for sure.
What are the biggest like highs and lows in a tournament that is like do or die every day matters so much? Like how do you get into that and ready for that and everything that comes along with it?
I think when we found out the format of the tournament, the fact that it's not so much of a playoff, it's more overall record. And it may come down, the tiebreaker comes down to runs scored. So we know, and we've reviewed this, we've had meetings, like we know every single run counts. We were just talking about it today. If we're up 6-0 in the fourth inning, like we need to run the score up. And that's not disrespect to the other team, but if it comes down to it, like we're not going out based on that. So it's sort of pedal to the metal. It's not like what I am used to, you know, in a minor league game. If you're up 5-0 in the seventh inning, you don't bunt, you don't steal, you know, you're not really swinging 3-0 pretty much. So it's kind of like what Robbie was saying. It's so much of the game now is tools and analytics, and it's those things can be great and they can be used properly, but I think some people forget about sort of the grittiness of baseball, and the best teams have, I guess, a mix of both. And we definitely have both here.
I feel like that was a sneaky shout out to Chris too.
A tremendous answer though. Holy smokes. What an answer.
Thank you.
But how many people after you bunted against Mexico, How many people knew what the run rules were or understood what you needed to do, and how many, you know, how this international style baseball works? How many people just like assumed that was not what you were thinking or made judgments?
Well, there's about 25 of the Mexican team that didn't really understand it by their actions. You know, Rick Renteria, manager, knew it. He's a good friend, and I don't know. I mean, it was a heat of the battle thing. I always say it was lost in translation, a language barrier issue. But Jake said it best. I mean, it's about playing 9 innings, right? And whether you agree with it or not, you don't want to lose out by a lack of a run or giving up a extra run here and there. And until that rule changes, or if it ever does. I mean, you have to play for nine innings, right? And that's how, I'm sure that's how Greg and Ernie and the staff put the team together to play nine innings of baseball every day.
And I mean, I guess, Kellen, I'll ask you, how different are the emotions attached to these games than just any regular other games that you've ever played?
It's more emotional. There's more intensity than, you know, minor league baseball. And I'm honestly, like, this trip, I feel like I'm in a better spot, I think, to handle some of this. So I think in years past, I look back, I let the game speed me up a little bit, and I got a little bit chase happy in the last Pan Am games, 2015. I was, you know, trying to do too much. So I think this trip, I'm going to do my best to calm the nerves, slow down the heart rate, and just try to take what the game, what the pitcher offers me, what the game offers, just try to make the one play, take it one pitch at a time. That way I don't let the game speed up on me too much, because it's going to be real intense.
And Jacob, I mean, where's the balance between, you have a super supportive team that is, you know, on you in the dugout with you every step of the way, versus, like, so you have kind of the ability to relax, but then you have the intensity just like ramped right up of these games. Like, where's the balance of that?
Yeah, it's, you know, in a minor league game, if you go 0-4 and you win the game, you fight that feeling to be like, my batting average just went down this much, you know, whatever. Here, it's like, if we win the game, it doesn't matter if I went 0-5 with five strikeouts. It's about winning the game. The stats are totally out the window. So in that way, the pressure's off. And knowing everyone in the dugout just wants so badly for you to succeed. The outfielder on this team, I don't even know who it will be. When I'm up, they're not wishing they were there instead of me. I'm sure they would like to be there, but rather they want me to succeed. But in that way, it makes it easy to perform. And knowing that if I make a mistake, you know, the guy behind me wants even more badly to pick me up. And no one's going to judge me. No one's going to take it personally if I go out there and just play hard for the team. And just whatever we do, just make sure it follows the goal of helping the team win that game. So it is more emotional, but the selfishness that comes with minor league baseball and professional baseball, frankly, is sort of totally out the window.
Is there anybody on the team, the young guys, the new guys, who have really, really stood out in these first couple days?
I think some of the young pitchers, I think we got like four young guys. I think they're in A-ball. Yeah, like they've shown some great stuff. I was watching Ben Onishko from center field, and he's kind of got that slinging arm slot lefty. You know, his ball is moving all around. He has a really good slider. If he can command his stuff, I think he's going to be really good. I don't see too many people barreling him up. So I'll give a shout out to Ben there.
Were you catching him, Kellen?
Yeah, I caught his first inning. Then JD caught his second inning, but I agree with, Robbie that, we have a good mix of some of these young guys have really good stuff, and just a matter of getting them in the strike zone and, keeping them in the zone. And then we got the older guys. Some of them still have really good stuff, and they can pitch. And some guys don't have as good of stuff, but they can really pitch. So it's a really good mix, I feel like, on the staff.
And I will wrap this up shortly, let you guys get to the pool. But Chris, I'll ask you, like, what did it mean just to be an Olympian? What does that mean to you still?
Well, I mean, they say, like, it's funny, they would always promote that you're always an Olympian, right? I mean, you're only a professional baseball player for a certain amount of time, but you're always an Olympian. So, I mean, you're in a very elite group as minor league, as a professional baseball player, you're in a very elite group. I don't want to say it's cliched, because it's the truth. Like, you hear these guys talk, and and talk about the brotherhood and fraternity and what it means to be with that group. You know, it's just reiterated over and over and over and over and over again by every player that's ever played there. So to be a part of that brotherhood, and then even more so to be a part of that small group that's, you know, an Olympian. As I said, I mean, it's more than a baseball experience. It's something you can draw upon. I was fortunate to have, you know, my wife and my mom and dad there with me, to experience that. I mean, we were in the stadium the night Usain Bolt broke the 100-meter record. And I mean, we were 10-cent beers, several 10-cent beers deep. And it was like the whole experience and being able to, the opening ceremonies were one of the greatest memories I'll ever have. And just, as I said, the whole experience of it is bigger than baseball. And thankfully, because the baseball was a little bit disappointing because of how many tight games we lost. But I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting to watch. I mean, we're the former guys are as invested in this as everybody. And that's part of the brotherhood, right? I mean, I saw the other day, CBC is going to stream it. I mean, it's exciting. We have a group chat of about five or six former Team Canada guys that are excited to follow it as much as the guys that have played there before. So, I mean, without getting too cliched, I mean, we're all behind these guys, and you know, it's an exciting time. And I mean, the thing about Team Canada, the thing about this group, the thing that I think will help them qualify is just the word was used earlier, I think, by Robbie, but the grit. Like, Canadians just have a grit to them when they come to this tournament, these types of tournaments where, you know, we deal with adversity. We've been there. I mean, especially with some of the veterans that they have put together. Daggs is going to be running the show, right? So, I mean, he's been there forever and knows what it's like to, you know, not get calls go the way, know what it's like to be down, knows what it's like to be up. You know, it's a huge advantage for the Canadian group because you can put a roster together with a bunch of former all-stars and a bunch of, you know, great players. But international baseball, that doesn't always correlate to wins, right? And you put a group with a lot of grit together, a lot of experience, a lot of times that can't. So, I mean, we're excited to follow you guys. And Alexis, I haven't missed playing baseball for a single day since I stopped. And then you asked me to come on this chat, and now I'm sitting there thinking, man, like, oh yeah, I miss being with the boys. So thanks for that.
Oh, anytime. This is if it's anything, I love to make people talk, so that's my job. Jacob, what excites you the most about this opportunity that you guys have?
Yeah, Robbie said it really well. You know, obviously having experienced it, but thinking about this opportunity is just, it is more than baseball. It's sports and athletics in general, and it goes, you know, back, way back in history to... It's amazing to me. And like, being a baseball player, all you want to do is make it to the big leagues, and you don't really think about other opportunities like this that can arise. And there are guys who have played in the big leagues for 10, 15, 20 years who never went to the Olympics. So it's just a very unique opportunity. And I'm really glad that we have this chance really to make it, because, you know, just like so many people, I grew up watching the Olympics, and it's just so amazing. You know, I found myself watching sports that I would never normally pay attention to, and just sort of marvel at the skill and how hard these people work. So hopefully if we get there, you know, people will be watching us and thinking the same thing about us.
Kellen, what would it mean to you to be an Olympian?
It would mean a lot. It would be special, incredible, something, yeah, like Robbie has for the rest of his life, being an Olympian. And you know, this team, we won in 2011 the Pan Am Games, won in 2015, and we came second in 2019. So like, even though maybe we don't have a ton of all-stars like some of these other teams in the tournament do, we know like we can win on the big stage. We've done it before. And we really want to be there. We want to be in the Olympics with those other five teams. And we feel like we can play at that level. I mean, we beat Japan in the exhibition series before the tournament in Seoul, Korea. I mean, we've beaten US in the Pan Am Games numerous times. So, like, we know what we're capable of, and we just want to get it done.
And the final question to cap off the podcast, I think, is the most important one. If you get to the Olympics, will you get the tattoo, and where will you get it?
I was going to say that. I was going to say, not to mention, you guys have to get a terrible tattoo that I'll regret it, but you will question it at times in your life. But yeah, you'll have to follow suit with that.
Robbie, where's yours? Tell them, give them the example.
It's on my arm. Yeah. I'm not showing it off, 'cause it's, you know, it's got like faded. It's like three rings. It's like, yeah, but you know, it still means something to me.
Kellen, would you do it?
I don't have any tattoos, but I would definitely consider it if we went to the Olympics.
The cop answer.
What?
Of course you're going to do it. You have to do it.
I never thought about it till now, but yeah, maybe. I mean, if I'm an Olympian, might have to pull the trigger for that one.
Jacob, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I've got a few other ones, so it won't be like I'm breaking the seal or anything. I've thought about it. I'll probably get it somewhere on my arm. Yeah, I think it would be cool just to, you know, people don't even have to ask you about it. If they just see it, they'll be like, man, that guy's got to be good at something. So yeah, I think I would get it for sure.
That can work backwards too, Robbie, though, right? Because if you're walking down the beach, and now that you have a dad bod someday that you will, and they that it's like serious, they're questioning you. They're like, okay, like this guy must be a huge Olympics fan. Like this guy couldn't possibly be an Olympian. But hey, you know what? Like I love watching the Olympics too. This guy obviously takes it to another level and loves it. So it can backfire sometime, but it's definitely a conversation piece.
I still think it'll be worth it in the end, no matter what.
I think it's backfiring on you, Robbie. Your arms look pretty big here on Zoom.
Well, I told you, when Alexis said I was going to be on today, I went for a quick pump.
I think you putting the dad bod on Jacob right here is a good way to end this one. And we'll have to have another podcast. I would love to do more of this, but hopefully our Baseball America audience enjoyed the Canadian takeover. So I will just say thank you to you guys and for doing this, and good luck at the tournament.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Good to see you, Robbie.
Well, this is awesome seeing you. As I said, it was the first time I've missed playing baseball in I think what, 8-9 years now. So good luck. I mean, as I said, we're fired up. We're living every pitch with you guys. And Alexis, thanks for bringing me on and making me relevant for maybe what, 15 minutes again. So thank you.